Welcome back, 418, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, and joined now by Chris Versailles, who writes the corner of Wall and Main for the Washington Times. 1 month does not meet a trend. That is today's column. And what do you mean by that? Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. So 1 month doesn't mean a trend?
No, it doesn't. us people in the finance and Wall Street world, we like to look at a lot of data. And it's usually by looking at several points of either good data or bad data, we try to make a conclusion. So, you know, the old saying that you can't draw a straight line with just one data point pretty much holds true.
Yeah. All right. Explain what happened yesterday in the stock market. Dow up 244.
Yeah, there were really two or three things that happened yesterday. First, the ECB came out with an okay plan that says they're going to start to shore up some of the debt out there in Europe, and I think that made people start to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That was, an okay plan, I would say. That's the Monetary Outright Transaction Program, or MOT, as they call it. We also had ADP that came out with a very strong, stronger than expected, robust even, jobs figure for the private sector in August. I mean, it blew everybody away. And then thirdly, weekly jobless claims fell about 12,000 from the last week. So those three things kind of said, whew, a relief rally, and you saw what happened.
Okay. Unlimited bond buying, that was one of the things you mentioned. What does that mean?
Well, if we think of how the countries in the EU are going to float debt, they effectively sell bonds. So it says that, you know, the ECB will turn in and buy bonds from these countries to keep them afloat. How deep and how long they'll go, you know, that's why they use the word unlimited, because we honestly just don't know.
All right. Any of that uptick yesterday in anticipation of Obama's speech, or am I just way out to lunch on that one?
I think you're having a nice steak.
Okay.
I think on the heels of the ADP number, there were people who were saying that, oh, look, tomorrow we get the Bureau of Labor Statistics,
right,
quote-unquote official number on the employment or number of jobs created in August. And after seeing that ADP number, I think there was a lot of swelling, if you will, like, hey, maybe the number's going to be better than expected.
Okay, but they weren't.
They were horrible.
Yeah, and with the unemployment report, I guess it's hard to be surprised at this point, even if we did have an indication it would be better than it turned out. But, you know, when you look at this today, as an example, 8.1%, the White House says, well, you know, look, it's a tick up. Things are looking better.
No. Sorry, I got to stop you right there. When you have over 580,000 Americans leaving the workforce in the last 30 days, that's not a good thing. When you have 2.7 million people leaving the workforce in the last 12 months, that's not a good thing. When wages are flat, when there is no overtime, you cannot say that's a good thing.
All right, but the White House put out this a little while ago. It says, remember, it's important not to read too much into it.
Yeah. No one likes to dwell on bad news.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, this unemployment report that we get monthly,
mm-hmm,
has it recently become a political tool, or has it always been that way?
I think it's always been. I mean, look, if you want to look, a true measure of the health of the economy is how many people are getting jobs, what are wages doing, are we working more? I mean, you know, that's the nutshell. And, you know, is the BLS the best number? You know, I always say, Andy, that there is no best number, but
yeah,
we look at 2, 3, 4 different reports. And, you know, earlier this week, Intuit, which is a small payment processing company, they had their report out for August, and guess what? The number of jobs that they showed being created in August slowed dramatically, almost by 50% compared to July. You know, if you look at ADP, stronger than expected, you know, and then if we look at a few others, you know, the consensus or average, if you will, pointed to slower than expected growth. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, you saw the column that I wrote, you know, if we break down the other numbers that we were getting from the Institute of Supply Management and the employment components of several numbers that they publish as well as others, look, there's no doubt that the economy is slowing and job creation is going to slow and probably will slow further.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Chris Versailles, who writes The Corner of Wall and Main here at the Washington Times. He's also written a piece for Human Events that I was checking out. And I noticed you touched on Barack Obama giving himself a grade of incomplete. Have you ever heard that before?
You know, everywhere that I've been, you know, and I've been through, you know, grade school, high school, college. I even taught 2 years of high school. I have to be honest with you, I've never, ever heard that at all. Because, as we all know, there are defined marking periods, you know, whether they're semesters or not. And, you know, as I kind of a snarky comment, anybody who has a job knows that there's a determined period of time on which you are evaluated. And you can't simply there and go, no, it's incomplete, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. And you may not recall, because you're a lot younger than I am, but I certainly recall coming up through grade school and into high school and beyond, where if you had the word incomplete written at the top of the paper you turned in, it meant an F.
That's exactly what it meant. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this over the last day or so, and, you know, normally, you know, parents have a conference with the teacher, you know, about halfway, maybe three-quarters of the way through a marking period, in which case they usually get like a status update. So I think really what the president needs is a status update of how well he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think I can say after today's jobs report,
yeah,
you know, CC minus, that's probably pretty fair.
Yeah. One more thing before mm-hmm. I let you run out of here today. The debt passed $16 trillion this week. And it seems as if no one cares. Didn't hear much about it. I mean, you know, we watched a little ticker on TV where it actually showed it moving into the $16 trillion, you know, category, but no one really said anything about it. Isn't that alarming?
I have to tell you, it is. And, you know, when you really think about what those numbers, you know, mean on an individual basis, you know, $181,000 total debt per citizen, $683,000 or so dollars, you know, debt per family. Those are big numbers. And if you really sit back and think about it from a personal perspective, like if you have a high credit card bill or, you know, a high credit card balance, it's going to restrict the things that you want to do, the things you would like to do, and the things you need to do because you're carrying too much debt and interest. So imagine now if inflation really starts to percolate and the Fed goes, you know, we need to raise rates sooner than we thought. All of a sudden, all that debt becomes that much more expensive.
Yeah. All right, my friend, always good to talk to you. Folks, if you need to get in touch with Chris, it is chrisversace.com. That is V-E-R-S-A-C-E. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk next week.
Have a great weekend, Eddie.
You too. See ya. 426, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.